This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by Manscaped. Hey folks, it's Jake Miller from The Drive, and Manscaped is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped's Performance Package, the ultimate men's hygiene bundle. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code 20DRIVE. That's 20DRIVE at manscaped.com. And if my math is correct, that's about 8 million balls.
It's time for The Drive's Top 5 at 5.
Hour number 3 of The Drive is set to get underway, and the Top 5 at 5 is brought to you by our good friends at Manscaped. And up first, Tennessee has hired a track and field coach in the form of Dwayne Ross, who comes here from North Carolina A&T.
I'm very encouraged about the hire. Good luck. Congratulations. Welcome to the family. I'm hoping that he can get off on the right foot and get us back to where we belong. And I know we say it all the time, and I'm not saying it, you know, about you guys being young. You have no idea, man. I mean, when we had track up and running, there's some great UT players that probably don't play football here if it wasn't for track. Probably
Justin Coleman.
Yeah, I'm thinking more like Willie Galt, like guys that really
– Didn't Leonard Scott run track as well?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Sam Grady, Golong Grady. I mean, he would just run flat out, and then they'd throw it as far as they could, and he'd run under it. So, long tradition, and I'm really looking forward to seeing Tennessee get back on top. That's a lot of fun, man. Like, I can remember being over there, like, in the spring with, like, huge track meets going on. I mean, who would have ever thought we'd like to, you know, watch college baseball?
Right.
It's entertaining.
I got to run on Tom Black track as a kid. I was over there for a summer meet.
Yeah.
Nice facility. Number 2, Tennessee Titans quarterback Ryan Tannehill feels his comments about it not being his job to mentor 2022 third-round pick Malik Willis have been blown out of proportion. He said, quote, "I meant no disrespect to Malik or anything like that. We've been in constant communication since he was drafted. I'm disappointed in how things have got spun and a little bit twisted. I pride myself on being a great teammate my whole career, going back to when I was a kid playing youth sports." Interesting twist to that story.
Yeah, I thought at the time that they were probably twisting it. I was kind of, even if they didn't get it as twisted as they did, I understood completely what he's saying. You're playing the National Football League, that's a business. And he's there to, you know, he's not there to coach or mentor. That's what they've got the coaches for.
Yeah, I mean, that's like you take any sales job.
I mean, he's there to win football games for the Tennessee Titans.
Right.
So, and he's not going to just – I mean, I don't even think he'd go as far as Favre did. And I wonder if that's part of what's made Aaron Rodgers, as seemingly sour a human being as he is, was, you know, a situation like that. But I agree with pretty much everything he said.
Malik even made a comment on it when they asked him about it, and he didn't seem – worried at all. Like, he just kind of acted like it was just water under the bridge, that they're totally fine. So I think it was just kind of blown out of proportion.
I mean, it is what it is. Number 3, we have NBA playoff action tonight, game 4 of the Western Conference Finals. Golden State leads the series 3-0. It will take on the Mavs at 9:00 tonight on TNT, with Dallas entering as a 1-point favorite. I wouldn't be surprised at all to see Golden State just sweep the series.
Yeah, and the only problem, I really don't have a dog in that one. But we have adopted the Celtics here on the Drive as our team through the playoffs. And I'll tell you this. Whoever wins the Celtics Heat finals, that's who I'm rooting for in the NBA finals. I just tired of seeing the Warriors win it.
As a Celtics fan, if we lose to the Heat, I cannot go for the Heat. It's too painful for me to want to do that.
See, I got my number 1 and number 2 teams playing in the Eastern Conference Finals right now. Mm. Two teams I enjoy watching.
I think the Mavs are going to pull one out.
I hope so.
I think they're going to push it to 5.
Yeah. Otherwise, the Warriors are just going to be sitting at home getting healthy and getting ready.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's all they're going to be doing.
Scary.
Yeah. They don't need any more help than they've already got.
They got all the help in the world. And number four, more drama in the Nick Saban, Jimbo Fisher story as the Nick Saban, Jimbo Fisher saga continues. Saban struck a blow today with Eli Holstein's commitment to Alabama. Holstein's a 6'3", 215-pound quarterback out of Zachary High School in Zachary, Louisiana. Holstein originally committed to Fisher and Texas A&M in June of 2021, but decommitted from the Aggies in March. This story keeps getting better and better.
So they're taking...
They took a ESPN 300 quarterback.
So we assuming they're out of the Arch sweepstakes? I think that's going to come down to Georgia or
Texas.
Yeah, Texas. Yeah. Yeah.
It'll be Texas most likely.
I'd rather see him at Texas than I don't want a Manning at Georgia.
No.
But with that being said, kid needs to go where he wants to go.
I mean, that's what the deal was with Peyton. I mean, everyone expected him to go to Ole Miss from what I've read and seen. And he just kind of had a mind of his own. He's like, no, I'm going to Tennessee. And it was between Michigan, I think it was us, Michigan, and Florida were his top three when it came down to it.
Yeah, he ended up here.
And number five, a California animal shelter helped a local homeowner with an unusual problem, a raccoon with its head stuck through a hole in the roof. Santa Cruz Animal Shelter said in a Facebook post that a local resident called the Wildlife Emergency Services number on Monday to report a raccoon had chewed a hole in the roof and became stuck while trying to climb through the opening. And I'm looking at a picture. This raccoon's head is straight through, and all you can see is its tail and its feet.
It's just hanging out of this roof?
Oh, it's just hanging out of the roof. I can imagine the blood's rushing to its head or whatever. I go back to it time and time again. The raccoon is an animal I want no part of. When I've had them trapped before, I don't want anything to do with them. They're mean. They'll snap at you. And then you factor in the rabies portion of it. Yeah, it's a pretty scary situation no matter what.
Their tiny hands, things like that.
You ever seen- I will admit, after you pointed that out, I looked at some people. That is kind of weird.
It is.
They've got tiny little hands. Yeah.
Have you seen how much fur, like how much room the fur actually takes up? Have you ever seen a bald raccoon?
I have not.
It is.
That sounds rough.
It's terrifying, but interesting.
They're interesting creatures, I'll be honest with you. They're terrifying and very fascinating.
That they are. That is your top five at five, brought to you by our good friends at Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-waist grooming, offering precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Now, guys, one of the things that we like to talk about is the Lawnmower 4.0, great product. That is not the only product they've got, though. You got problems with nose and ear hairs, you need the Weed Whacker. The Weed Whacker is the ultimate nose and ear hair trimmer, probably my favorite thing that Manscaped has got. They've also got a ton of stuff like your Crop Reviver, your Crop Deodorant, Crop Exfoliator, all great products through Manscaped. Go there right now. Go to manscaped.com. Use the code 20DRIVE, that's 20DRIVE, at manscaped.com. You will get 20% off and free shipping with that code 20DRIVE at manscaped.com. Time to find your diamond in the rough, men. So let's get back to this deal, Jimbo Fisher, Nick Saban. What's going to happen next?
Well, I mean, we got SEC media days, or not the coaches meeting. It's like next week, isn't it?
Yeah, that's down in Destin. And, of course, we've heard that I think Greg Sankey told the guys to play nice. But you know every single person that is listening to that. Steve Spurrier even chimed in. He said, well, did Nick Saban say anything that was a lie? Because you know he knows what's going on.
Yeah, but everybody he's also said, say, when they asked if Saban was the best coach, he said he's the best recruiter. So,
I mean, was he wrong?
Well, no, but I mean, that's the whole thing to me is it's just, you know, I saw it was commented on Twitter yesterday. You know, there was a Georgia fan who took umbrage that anybody would say that Georgia was cheating in recruiting.
They obviously are.
Yeah, everybody does. That's why I don't know why people pretend like they aren't. Just admit it. Yeah.
Can you think of any team that was dominant in the 90s? Let's go back to the 80s. Go back to the '80s. Was there any team that was dominant that was not cheating?
No, I mean that's a whole different level. I mean it's a different level of money from what we're talking about now.
Well, true. But over time, I mean your best schools are cheating.
It wasn't I mean to some extent, but it wasn't like it's been weaponized in the past 20 years. The '90s is kind of when it really when the TV money started coming in. And schools started having all this money. And it got – I mean, Alabama's always done it. There have been certain schools that did. I think we've done it at times, if we're being honest.
At times?
Yeah. But I also think there's certain players that would shock people that didn't get a dime to come here and play. So, yeah, it's – I mean, it's a mess. The thing that I'm watching now is the new that 25 rule, because that
scholarship limits.
Yeah, when you combine it with the NIL and the transfer portal with immediate eligibility, that's just like the final piece in it.
Well, I mean, there's going to be a lot of get shirts that get handed out.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's completely unrestricted free agency, Wild West tampering. Anything goes. There's no guardrails at all. This is like when you go to Germany. You can get on the Autobahn. You can get in that far left lane. You go as fast as you want. And that's basically what college sports are now. There are no rules. And the ones that we did have in place, the NCAA won't have no stomach for trying to enforce them. And they're terrified of getting taken back to court.
Yeah, because every time they go to court, they lose. Every
single
time.
And that was originally what Nick Saban was wanting in that statement where he got sideways with Jimbo. He was, you know, talking about wanting Congress to try and get their arms around it, or the NCAA, or just somebody, because he knows. So, but then he screwed up and said that he pivoted to Texas A&M and – Miami and was it Jackson State with Dion?
Yeah, when they had
the
five-star that signed for $1 million through an NIL deal.
They're not sure. If you read everything that they put out, they weren't saying that he didn't get an NIL deal to go there. They're just saying he didn't get $1 million.
Okay, he got $900,000.
Whatever.
$99.
But, yeah, I mean, it is what it is. And I think I said it last week. I really think Saban, like what that thing showed me was I feel like he can hear some footsteps behind him for the first time in his big run that he's had. The pictures are out there. And it goes on. Georgia's just a lot better. They coach their kids not to put anything on social media.
Well, yeah, they're better at hiding it. But, I mean, you look at the Alabama – guys they've had over the years. D Liner, one of the commits out of the 2013 class. Like he's sitting there with at least, what would you say, $2,000 in his hand?
Oh no, that's every bit of 20. Those are hundreds, bro.
Wow.
Yeah. It's like $10,000 or $20,000 he's got fanned out there. With an $80,000 muscle car customized with his initials on it.
Yeah, and the same for Kool-Aid McKinstry, who is there now, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, but then again, man, I live in a glass house. I've been driving on campus. I've seen guys I recognize. And it's no different here than it is in Alabama. I've yet to meet an 18-year-old that can get a car loan and handle the debt load of an $80,000 car.
That's a full-time student that doesn't have time for another job.
I mean, come on, man.
I do think you're right, though. But I think Saban's starting to hear those footsteps because, like, let's stop pretending. The cheating's been happening for a long time, like we've said. It's just because now people are starting to catch up because of these new rule changes. The Sabans finally decided, I think, to start throwing some punches back to try to combat it.
He's hoping somebody will, you know, the NCAA or – I don't know why everybody keeps asking Congress. They can't get anything done on a good day.
Asking two dysfunctional groups to try to get something done.
Right, because they know that you can't get the NCAA to do anything.
No.
So they think they got to go higher and hope that it will work, but –
And then, we talked to Daniel Libet from Sportico a couple of weeks ago, and I'll tell you, there's some because of what it touches as far as, you know, like federal regulations as far as antitrust and, you know, constitutional issues about limiting someone's right, you know, limiting a citizen's right to earn what, I mean, it's the basis of our society. So I don't know. I mean, it's a mess. It's still mind blowing to me that college football has gotten this out of control.
We're a couple years away from just the end of the NCAA, I'm pretty sure. I don't think it's going to be much longer before.
I mean, they'll have superpower teams. Yeah, I mean they'll have to reform and have strict guidelines, because now what the federal government will do, and specifically the IRS, is you know, the tax.
Well, that's something I wanted to touch on too. Do we know of anybody yet that has been hit with a high tax bill because of their NIL earnings?
Well, no, because you probably won't hear about it unless it's just like, what were you thinking?
Like somebody just doesn't pay their taxes?
Yeah, I mean, you got to think, I would hope that part of what the collective does, like say for in our, you know, in regards to Aspire, that they're going through and walking the kids and their families through, look, you need to pay taxes on this.
Like almost pay the taxes immediately.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, anytime. I think you can do it quarterly. Yeah, because you're going to get a 1099. Yeah. That's taxable income.
Right.
So, but I mean, it was going to happen sooner or later once. I mean, it's a billion-dollar, multi-billion-dollar year industry. It's got to have some kind of oversight. It's just too much money.
Right. I mean, the TV contracts are huge. I mean, but we're also not factoring in, you know, ticket sales, merchandise sales, concession sales, like none of that, which granted, the university's not paying the kids. You know, the collectors are paying, but still, you got the donors, the boosters that are going to go to these games and pay these prices, and please pay no more. Shout out to the University of Tennessee. All right, stay with us. The drive continues. Get some phone calls going. 865-546-8200. Your number if you want to chime in. Back with more right after this. Welcome back. The drive continues. 865-546-8200. Your number if you want to get on the show with us today. So let's get right back to it and talk to Matthew. Good afternoon, Matthew. You're on the drive.
Hey, Jake. Hey, Bear. How are we doing today?
Doing well, man. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. I just tuned in, so I'm sorry I missed half the conversation. But, you know, y'all were discussing earlier on the show about Georgia and Alabama and this Jimbo Fisher, Nick Saban, and NIL, and who's cheating and who. Got me thinking, you know, Jake knows where I stand on this, but Bear, I'm really curious to hear your thoughts on this, but and maybe I'm just blinded by my love affair for the guy, but do we think Coach Barnes has his hand, you know, painted red and has done a few things he shouldn't have in his past before, you think, when it comes to, you know, recruiting kids?
That's an interesting one.
Now, what was that?
Cut. So, Bear, I mean, Jake kind of knows where I sit on this, but, you know, the quote that was used earlier is everybody's cheating. You know, the winners are cheating, and maybe that's Barnes' flaw, because I truly actually don't think he has ever dipped his hand and done any illegal recruitment. What do you think?
Honestly, I mean, I asked that question to Russell earlier. I mean, I may be completely wrong, just my opinion, strictly my opinion. I don't think Kevin Durant went to Texas for free just because he wanted to go play his 1 year at Texas. So whether or not he knew about it, I mean, Barnes may follow, you know, like Russell said it before. A lot of times Saban doesn't know the ins and outs of all the stuff. He just lets somebody know who he's, you know, they figure, you know, who he's targeting. And they kind of take it from there. Problem Nick has is it's a coordinated effort.
The problem I have, and you might be right there, but the way I look at it is Barnes has been in this industry how long? What, 20-plus years? So the way I look at it is he's probably not necessarily, you probably are trending in the right direction. He's probably bent the rules and he has found loopholes of how to get kids to come to him. But from the people I've spoken to that have played for him and the people that I've worked for, we've actually pushed away guys in the past.
Well, sure.
That have wanted that bag thrown their way before NIL was even brought into the picture.
Yeah, but Barnes has said there was a turning point for him. I don't know how I describe it. I don't know if it was like a life crisis, but I remember the story. It had something to do with his daughter, and he just decided, because if you go back and look, the Tennessee Rick Barnes is a lot different from Texas and certainly, you know, Clemson and God, where the hell did he start out at? Providence?
Providence.
Yeah, Providence. Yeah, the Providence and Clemson and Texas Rick Barnes is not the Tennessee Rick Barnes. And he talks about how he just, you know, I think it had a lot to do with his, you know, with his personal faith. And, I mean, I would agree. He's not wanting to – and I think that's why we've lost out on some of the kids, some of those high-profile kids, especially the past couple of years. Because I don't think he wants to – wade in those waters anymore, so to speak. And I'm the best Tennessee basketball fan where that doesn't bother me because I really don't like us being there either. Because he's built such, rebuilt the program and they're easy to root for and they're all really good kids, even the kids that have transferred out. The kids, he brings in really good kids, and, you know, I mean, he wins 20-plus a year and we go to the tournament. I'm not greedy, well, though.
You said it best. I mean, the Tennessee Barnes is not the same Barnes that we knew at Providence or Texas. I mean, I've heard the story. He actually spoke at our church back in the day, and it's an incredible story. I encourage any Vol fan that ever, you know, gets a chance to meet Barnes that ask him about that because it's a great story. But it was a wake-up call for him one night with his daughter, just basically saying that he's not the same man or dad that he was when she was a little girl. But I'll hang up with this. You know, we talked about the current team and what the outstanding future holds. I'll be interested to see what Tennessee basketball looks like. I know you're a big BJ Edwards guy, Bear, and I think BJ Edwards is going to be a great, great player. But, man, I'm really hoping that we can land this Tyrese Hunter guy because I think he's the missing piece to allow a guy like BJ and Sakai Ziegler to just develop into the full point guards that I think those two guys can be for us. And it looks like we may even be getting him. So appreciate your time. Love the guys. Take care. Bye.
Thank you, Matthew. Speaking of basketball, Lakers trying to get rid of Russell Westbrook.
On the chopping block?
Yeah, but here's the thing. The Lakers have no picks until 2027, 2028. Is that right, Marcus?
I believe so. We could double check that.
And apparently teams are not looking to do them any favors. It's not going to be the old Russell Westbrook for two All-Stars. It can be Russell Westbrook for somebody that's played at the level that Russell Westbrook has played at these past 3 years. Which, if we're being honest, is not that great.
That's the problem that the Lakers have is when you trade for guys like that, it's like, here's a good analogy for it. Like, you're going out to buy a car.
Okay.
Let's say you got $12,000. Mm-hmm. And you got a choice to make when you're buying, like, say you're buying a used car. $12,000 can get you into something really reliable, low mileage, great.
Mm-hmm.
$12,000 can also get you into a Mercedes-Benz that's got high mileage.
A lot more maintenance issues.
Exactly.
With a lot more expensive parts.
Yeah.
A lot more expensive labor.
And it's going to be really hard to get your investment back on it. If things don't work out and you start having problems with it, you got to get rid of it. So, yeah. I mean, the Lakers are in a shambles right now. I mean, what are they going to do? I mean, like, what's LeBron? How long is LeBron contracted for? Like, misses it. Is he going anywhere else?
No, he's going to stay in L.A. And let's be honest, the only reason he wanted to play for the Lakers is because he owns a house in Los Angeles. We all know this.
No, I mean, I don't know about any of that. I don't, you know.
Because he wasn't going to stay in Cleveland.
No.
He did him dirty twice.
And I don't know if he didn't really do him dirty. The way he handled it.
The first time was terrible.
It was just terrible because of the way he did it.
Because I liked LeBron pre the decision. The decision LeBron.
I mean, that was just, I mean, he just made a mistake in how he, you know, publicly went about it with the whole ESPN interview and all that. I mean, it's just like, it's all right, man. You're making a business decision. I didn't blame him. I probably would have done the same thing. Cleveland's not going to help you get enough around you to win it all. I mean, that's how the NBA is. Go somewhere where you can.
Not many franchise players left, though.
No, there's not. Horford with the Celtics.
I mean, even he went and played for the 76ers.
Yeah.
I mean, the last staple player, I mean, aside from Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Marcus, you're a Celtics fan, Paul Pierce would be the last one. Antoine Walker before him.
Yeah. I mean, Steph came in. He was drafted by Golden State, right?
Yes. Golden State built that team.
Yeah.
I mean, that entire team is basically drafted.
Draymond Green was a second-round pick for them, I'm pretty sure. Klay was a first. Yeah, I mean, they're core players. I mean,
Andrew Wiggins, James Wiseman. I mean, they were all drafted.
Wiggins was either Cleveland or Timberwolves.
Oh, you're correct.
He should feel bad for what he did to Luka.
I still can't believe that they didn't call that a dunk. That's one of those moments where you have to look at the referee and be like, this isn't about you. Because that was
Good luck with that.
Well, I know, but it's like that was a dunk. That should not have been waved off.
I've had a hard time adjusting to the way an NBA game is called, because I haven't watched the NBA in years. Mm-hmm. Years and years and years, probably since Kobe.
Different and rules.
How different it is compared to college basketball, which I watch, you know, like a fiend every single year. So,
speaking of that dunk, what are some of the nastiest dunks? Let's go around the room here. What are some of the nastiest dunks you've ever seen? My top one is Blake Griffin over Kendrick Perkins.
I was going to say that one because that was very similar to that Wiggins dunk. Eerily similar. Even with the arm that Wiggins had, Blake did something very similar with that in that same dunk.
Because Blake had another one before that. I forgot who it was on. But his fingers didn't touch the rim. It's like, okay, he just threw the ball in it. That one against Kendrick Perkins, that was a flat out.
God, you guys are so young. So young.
I'll tell you another one. And it actually happened against Tennessee. Back in, it was either 2002 or 2003. We were out at Nebraska. They had a player named Jason DeRusso. This guy gets the ball, drives down the middle, and just brings down the house. Backboard collapses. Weirdest thing I'd ever seen, and not a lot of people remember it.
Yeah, nobody.
Poor Dane Bradshaw.
Nobody
remembers
that.
Sitting there with disgust. And I've got the video posted on my YouTube channel.
I mean, we're having a nice conversation. You pivot to talking about when Dane Bradshaw got posterized, dude.
No, he didn't get posterized.
This is what Russell was talking about, Jay.
Nobody got posterized. I never said anybody got posterized. I just said the guy brought the house down.
Settle down. Settle down.
Well, then don't twist my words.
Settle down. Simmer.
Talk about the Schofield dunk. Turn things back into positiveness.
He bodied a guy from Kentucky and Mississippi State.
Nah, best dunk of the last 20 years, my opinion, was Bowden when he was like 8 feet above the rim coming down on Vanderbilt. Just a stuffing on him.
Yeah, we came out of a timeout, and then a timeout got called immediately after that because it was so just so bad.
Yeah, it's like, what do you do with that? I mean, that was just – that was a wild one. So
you think in your opinion, Bear, because I'm curious, how many more years do we have until people start getting frustrated with Barnes and the lack of postseason success here at Tennessee?
I think it'll be a long time.
You think
number
so?
One, because the administration, he's here until he doesn't want to be here. Always forcing him out.
Well, No, I don't think the administration is going to be frustrated. I mean,
beyond the Legion of the Miserable.
Yeah. Because I mean, look.
I mean, if we do the same exact thing next year that we did this year, people are going to be. There's definitely it just builds.
Right.
And, I mean, it all depends on how we go out. So, I don't know.
I mean, the reason people were upset this year is because we had such a good, strong ending to the season. I mean, we were one of the hottest teams in the country.
Yeah. We came out and shot 10% from three and got beat by a very underseeded Michigan team that didn't put it together until the end of the year after their coach came back from suspension.
I mean, that was a team that we didn't even know was going to make the tournament when Juwan Howard got suspended.
And that was I mean, they were one of the last four in. Were they not?
I believe that's right.
Yeah, I think you're
they didn't
right.
play the play-in game, but they were definitely a bubble team. So, and the one kid we had that would have been physically capable of matching up with, is it Dickinson? Is that the kid's name?
Yeah, from Michigan.
I can't believe we're back here. Broke his foot against Texas in the Texas game. I don't care what Phil says.
Yeah.
That didn't come back to bite us until Michigan, that injury. So, we lost Cam Waugh. But, I don't know. I'm looking forward to this year. I can't wait to see BJ. Obviously.
I think Key is someone that I'm excited about.
Key. Oh, God. The kid from last week. The Phillips kid.
Yeah. Julian Phillips.
Yeah, Julian Phillips. Triple J senior year. Vescovi's last year. Looking forward to seeing what kind of strides Zakai makes in the offseason.
Speaking of those guys, Toby Awaka, they still have him listed as the class of 2023 on 247.
Yeah, I don't go by what 247 goes by. I go by what the official Tennessee sports releases are, media releases are.
I think he could be a sneaky good player, too. I think kind of like
Zakai.
I don't think
there's going to be any sneaky about
it.
Well,
I just mean like – well,
he's 6'8", what, 240?
I mainly mean that he – I think a lot of us probably have in our minds that he's going to be in a similar situation as Tamba, where he might be kind of sat to the side. I think he's going to kind of come out, kind of like Zakai did, and make it hard for Barnes to keep him on the bench.
Well, if he does reclass and he ends up like Tamba, taking a red shirt, and then basically
– Yeah, they're not bringing him in here in a red shirt.
I really do think he's going to do a very similar thing. He's going to make it hard for Barnes to keep him on the bench.
I'm just saying, like, if it does happen, there will be another or not be another guy that reclasses that comes to Tennessee.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to convince players to do that.
Yeah, he's not he's – and the thing about it, remember, we figured this out. He's actually –
like, he got held back a year.
Yeah. It's like, so he's going to college with his original class, right. what it should be. He's 6'8" and 240 pounds. I watched a bunch of his film.
Would you want to guard that guy?
No, I think there's going to be a lot of people. He's going to cause problems in the SEC for other teams. He's that physical.
We ever recruited a bad player out of New York?
No.
So the next
– Ernie, Bernie, the ones that I can think of off the top of my head, Ernie and Bernie, Brian Williams, Zakai Ziegler.
I love Brian Williams.
I know I'm missing a bunch.
Tobias Harris.
Tobias. But, yeah, I'm all about that. I'm talking like the city. New York City pipeline, the Bronx. Right.
Next bad player we recruit out of New York will be our first. All right, stay with us. Final segment of The Drive, the shocking conclusion coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio. Final segment of The Drive. Russell Smith will be back with us tomorrow. For now, be Jake, Bear,
you think
and Marcus.
You think he loses his mind at those things? Like, I've watched games with him where he doesn't have any other than just his love of Tennessee, how crazy he gets.
So do you think it's like the time that he blew up at walk-ons?
No, he's not doing that in front of kids. I'd be willing to bet. I bet – he'll be pacing.
He's a pacer.
Yeah.
He definitely is a pacer.
Yeah.
I mean, he paces in here.
I don't know if he. Do you think he'd be like a grumbler under his breath, like the?
Oh no, no, he'll yell, but it won't be anything inappropriate. Oh come on!
I just imagine him being like Hank Hill in the first ever episode. Bobby, get your eyes off of me! Hit the ball. Keep your eye on the ball.
No, huh? His kid's pretty good. You know that microphone's got an on and off button. But yeah, I've just wondered.
I think
I've been tempted to invite myself.
I think he's definitely a pacer. I feel like maybe he. I definitely don't think he would be yelling, like you said, profanity or anything like that. But I think it would be an interesting. I would definitely want to be a fly in the ballpark to see how he reacts.
It would definitely. I don't know. Maybe we should find out where he's playing and just go scout Russell.
Scout Russell?
Don't even watch the game. We just scout Russell.
Scout Russell as a fan, yeah. Or a parent.
He's probably sitting up there in his Ray-Ban Wayfarers, like he always is in public, with his arms crossed, everybody else sitting down.
Nah, he's pacing in the outfield, dude. I know that guy. I don't like the back of my hand.
Oh, they're not hitting the ball to the outfield.
He's still out there. He's wound up.
Interesting. What do you guys think? What do you think Russell is like at his child's baseball game?
Is he crazy, Dad?
Oh, I can't wait to hear the responses from this. Let's go back to the phones and talk to our good friend Jamie. Good afternoon, Jamie. How you doing, buddy?
What's up, Jake?
Living the dream, buddy.
Did Tennessee come close to an SEC record in as far as wins and losses? Anybody know?
In baseball?
Yeah, as far as just conference wins and losses.
Yeah, really close to Vanderbilt. I think it's, you know, they still have the record for least losses in a season.
Mm.
Granted, we only had but, 7.
That's insane, isn't it?
Yeah, we're really good at baseball this year. Like, really
good. I guess that's a record that we may never see broken. If you know, a team as hot as Tennessee and we couldn't get that record. I wondered if we had broken it and nobody mentioned it, but. If somebody was better than this year, that's amazing. That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, Vanderbilt's had some really good teams. That may have been the year that they didn't make it out of their there was one year where they were the best team in baseball, and I think they didn't even make it out of the region.
That's baseball for you.
Yeah, you get a bad matchup or just one bad pitch can end it.
You get that right. It's unique to baseball, that's for sure. Maybe soccer. I guess you could add horse racing given the Kentucky Derby the other day. That was insane. A backup horse come in and win it.
Yeah.
Second longest odds in the history of the Triple Crown. Guys, I had to call in. I've been listening, doing some yard work today, and I heard y'all say somebody brought up, was it young Marcus Smart said that brought the question up about how long they give Rick Barnes if he doesn't get further in the tournament. And y'all brought up Legions of the Miserable. And it made me think, you guys, y'all were probably upset that that Jerry Green left then too, since this is Jerry Green level basketball. A lot of 20-win seasons, nothing in the tournament.
No, Jerry Green was a buffoon.
That was the first ever coach that I remember.
He made fun of the fans.
Did
Jerry Green put guys in the NBA? I mean, he's one of Barnes's players is a, you know, a budding superstar on your favorite basketball team, Jamie.
Yeah, but I mean,
yeah,
listen,
but
that's not,
it's
that's,
always
that's not
yeah, but with you, Jamie. Come on, Jamie.
Well, listen, I don't root for basketball coaches at Tennessee because they got a player on my team.
Well, but, no, you know, I'm just saying, man. You guys kill me. You kill me.
Tell me what's the difference outside of Jay Green being an absolute buffoon. What's the difference?
I mean, he was a laughing stock. We're not a laughing stock anymore. Do I want him to do better in March? Heck yeah, I do, Jamie. But, I mean, we've got a powerhouse program. We're top 10 perennial basketball power again.
Well, just treat the question with, forget the messenger, but listen to the message. Would you have felt the same way about
this?
This
is the message we get every time Russ takes off early and you sneak in here because you think that I can't argue, debate you as good, shut you down as good as Russ does when you get like this, man. Come on, let's. I'll lie to my friends. You lie to yours, Jamie. Let's not lie to each other.
I love you, Jamie.
You're 10 times the debater that Russ is. You might even be the masturbator. If I'm all. Hey, but seriously, Russ wins more arguments by hitting that flush button. See?
Bon voyage.
Pulled a fill there at the end.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll take, you know, even though my last name's Young, I'll take Marcus Smart, you know.
Yep.
Hard defender.
Nothing in common with.
We're pretty similar.
You a hell of a defender.
So when's the next game in that series?
Tomorrow night. And if they don't turn the ball over like they did in the two losses, like that's what killed them was the turnovers. Because once Miami can get that ball in transition, they're good. They're hard to stop. So if they continue to play suffocating defense, if the knee issue that Butler seems to have still irritates him a bit.
You saw last night once that game got way out of hand, he went to the bench.
Oh yeah, they were going to try to rest him up pretty quick. Yeah, it was over. Yeah. I mean,
you saw that shot. I know they had a horrendous, especially first quarter.
Yeah,
but I knew he's he's strong, one of the strongest guys in the league. But just the way he didn't foul him.
Yeah,
but I mean, he just went up and then just rolled it right in.
This next game is going to be. I mean, every game is massive, but
now this, I will say that being away from it for so long and not really having a team anymore, it's just fun to watch just for the pure love of the game.
That's why I've wanted to go just to random like events, whether it's basketball, football, hockey, whatever. Just go to a game that I have no stakes in and just watch it and just enjoy it for the sport that it is. Because like with football, man, like if I go to a Titans game or if I get a chance to see a Vols game, whatever, man, I'm just so I'm so invested emotionally that if something goes wrong, like an interception or just like one guy misses a block, I'm like just heartbroken and hating life and everything.
Well, yeah, because you're not, analyzing anything that's going on. You're emotionally invested in the situation. But like I get what you're saying, because every time that I go down to the Panhandle, got some of my – one of the things I've kind of wanted to do for the past few years is go to a Pensacola Blue Wahoos game, minor league affiliate for the Miami Marlins. I just feel like it'd be a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got know some guys. They go they're a little bit older than me. They're kind of early retired. Did really well. But they – every fall they go I think it's like five, if not six weekends. They travel around the country going to different – like rivalry games. They've been to that, I think they went, is it Montana? They've got that really cool stadium, and then you've got the I'm not sure what, I guess maybe the Rockies. You can see like the mountains behind the stadium, but they go to like all these, and that's what they do in the fall. These two buddies.
Don't you wish you could do that?
Oh yeah, it was always my dream. I guarantee you, like if I ever won the Powerball, I would get a Prevost bus, like a big tour bus, and then I would dedicate the rest of my life to watching live sporting events.
That'd be pretty cool.
I'd be in Monaco this weekend, I guarantee you that.
Yeah, one of the things that I'm fascinated with, and I'm a huge junkie for it, is like basketball arenas, like older than dirt, like the Palestra in Philadelphia, where the University of Pennsylvania plays. That is on my bucket list of arenas that I want to go to. Of course, Butler with the Field House. What are some other good arenas that you've always wanted to go to, Bear, that are still standing? Obviously, we can't go to the Boston Garden or old Chicago Stadium anymore. Or the Forum.
Yeah, I would have said the Forum, but it's closed now. I've always wanted to go to the Grove. I think that'd be a fun time. I've always wanted to – it's SEC schools.
You ever been to Madison Square Garden?
Yeah. Yeah. Several times. For sports and I've been there for a couple of concerts. Yeah. Where the U.S. Open is that Flushing, New York?
It's up in New York.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, they put on concerts in there.
I could see it.
Yeah, that's someplace
I've
always.
Those are some big stadiums, dude.
Almost went and didn't pull. I should have. I didn't pull the trigger on it. I was going to go see MMJ up there before the pandemic, in the before times. Like how we talk about it now, like it's out of a Mad Max movie.
It's like
well be.
The before times.
The best.
I find it
times.
Weird. Like I was watching. Scott Dixon's got a documentary, IndyCar Driver, on Netflix, and they were showing, you know, footage from the Indy 500 from like I think 2019 or 18, which is like 200,000 people, you know, just packed like sardines, and that's just so weird. It's still strange for me now that, you know, the pandemic's kind of seems to be in changing from pandemic to something that's just endemic, and we just got to learn how to live with it safely. Just big crowds of people is just weird to me. But you're also talking to somebody who's been basically in quarantine for like 16 months.
Well, you've not had a choice.
Yeah, no. But it's weird. So
I think I know a lot of people do this when it comes to like stadiums, and we're, you know, talking about like the classic ones. I would love to do one of those things that some people do, which is just travel the entire, like pick a sport and visit every single arena, stadium, whatever in that.
Oh, like go to every park in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, like something I would love to. Like if I could have the, like for me it would be hockey, but a lot of international travel with, you know, all of Canada and having to make sure my passport's up to date.
Yeah, if you're gonna do something, like, if you're talking like that, I'm wanting to go to all the Premier League stadiums over in Europe.
That would be cool.
Yeah,
it's a good thing about some of the baseball stadiums, you could hit two in one city.
Yeah, that's yeah.
Chicago,
honestly.
New York.
You know what's
Los
crazy?
Angeles.
I took a trip to LA a few years back,
Hollywood Bowl. That's on my bucket list. Go ahead.
I went to like a trip in like 2016, 2017, and I literally was like, you know what? I'm out here. Let's just go to a sporting event of any kind. I don't care who it is. Both the Lakers and the Clippers were both on the road. The LA Kings were on the road. The closest sporting event at the time I was there was literally like I'd have to make like a 5 or whatever 6 hour drive to San Jose. Like it was insane to me that the one time I got to go out to California, probably the last time I'll ever go, and
I don't ever want to
every
back.
Sporting event was just all on the road. Like how did both basketball teams on a road trip at the same time? How does
that
happen?
You didn't plan your trip correctly.
Well, I mean, that wasn't what I went to the
sounds
trip
like
for.
You, but it sounds like you made a mistake.
Well,
I
might.
Cody and those guys, they got out there, rented a convertible, and drove all the way up the PCH.
Oh, yeah?
And back down. Yeah.
It's one of the worst states I've ever visited. I hate it. I don't ever want to go back.
It was pretty – I mean, it was beautiful.
The only thing good to come out of California is Christopher Gabriel.
That's – number one, not where he's from, and number two, just insane. So,
the cost of living out there, just going to a gas station to get snacks, it was the worst experience of my life. We get out there, sergeant tells us, hey, go buy whatever you want at this gas station because we don't know when you're going to be able to get to the PX. So, I'm like, okay. And of course, I'm like 22 years old. I'm like, okay, let me get some combos. All right, we got some Powerade. I'm not paying attention to prices. I'm used to whatever I pay at Weigel's or Pilot. I get to the counter, and being in the military, you dip, you smoke. Said, okay, well, let me get a pack of whatever brand of cigarettes, whatever brand of dip. And she's like, okay, well, your total is going to be this. I'm like, what's the most expensive thing I've got? She's like, your tobacco. I said, okay, well, give me the cheapest pack of cigs you got and a can of Grizzly. Still spent way too much money. That's going to do it for us. Thank you, Bear. Thank you, Marcus. Thank you, Brett, for hanging out with us today. Stay locked in right here on Fan Run Radio. Overtime coming up next. Russell Smith will be back with us tomorrow right here on Fan Run Radio.